Welcome back to Sundial on WLRN. Sarah Faulkner is the first woman to graduate from the Coast Guard's Helicopter Rescue Swimmer School and join the elite group. As an aviation survival technician first class, she went on countless missions, dropping down from helicopters to save people in dangerous waters. She gained national attention for her heroic rescues of 48 people from flooded waters in the course of one night after Hurricane Katrina. But during her 20 years of service, she also endured a much different challenge: regular sexual harassment and assault from her superiors. Her story highlights systemic problems within the Coast Guard Academy and has given a voice to other members who have come forward to tell their own stories of harassment, assault, and retaliation. McClatchy's Kevin G. Hall has brought those stories into the spotlight through an investigative series, and you can find it on our social media at WLRN Sundial. We reached out to the Coast Guard for comment on this story and received a lengthy statement. We'll post the statement in its entirety on our website later today, but here's an edited portion of their comments. Quote, "Eliminating sexual assault and harassment in the military is a top priority at every level in the Coast Guard. Everyone has a responsibility to foster a service culture of trust, respect, and dignity, a culture that will not accept sexual assault or its enabling behaviors," end quote. Faulkner is now retired in West Palm Beach. She joined us earlier this week to share her story. A note to parents, some of the themes discussed in the interview are difficult. Be mindful of your children.
I knew that I wanted to be a rescue swimmer for the Coast Guard in my teens in high school. And I found out about the Coast Guard and rescue swimmers actually by going on a trip on a naval aircraft carrier and talking to the Navy rescue swimmers, and they told me, don't join the Navy. If you want to be a rescue swimmer, join the Coast Guard. And then I looked into it, went on a training with the Coast Guard up in Northern California, and that was it. I was sold. But also, one of the younger rescue swimmers who was kind of cocky made a point to tell me that there were no females who had ever made it through the rescue swimmer school and that none probably ever would. And right then and there, I said, well, you just told that to the wrong person.
So it was the late 1990s when you joined the Coast Guard and there were no women that were part of the team. Were you ever given a reason why?
Well, the reason why there were no female rescue swimmers is because none of them had made it through our helicopter rescue swimmer school. We had three women make it and become rescue swimmers, but that is before the Coast Guard had our own rescue swimmer school. We used to use the Navy's rescue swimmer school. So I am the first female to make it through the Coast Guard's Rescue Swimmer School, and that was open for about 12 or 15 years before any woman had made it through, and that was me.
What are some of the types of rescues that you do when you're one of the rescue swimmers?
Well, we're always on watch, kind of like a fire department, so there's always a crew that's ready to go, and, you know, if the bell goes off, then we go to the helicopter, and this could be anything. It could be a boat that lost its power and it's about to get smashed up on the rocks, so you need to hurry up and get those people off that boat as soon as possible. They could be way out to sea and their boat is sinking. It could be on fire. They could be caught in horrible weather. They could be injured. It could be more of a medevac. We do a lot of medevacs off of cruise ships. Well, and then you guys, I'm sure, have all seen us during the hurricanes and stuff. That's kind of a new thing for us ever since Hurricane Katrina kind of made us famous for that.
Yeah, and you know, that was one of the ones I wanted to ask you about, because you were recognized in the national media for your rescue missions during Katrina. What happened?
I was stationed in Mobile, Alabama. I was part of a flight crew that evacuated our helicopters, and we went to the Navy base in Jacksonville, Florida. And we were there watching the news. You know, Jacksonville, it was just like a beautiful, sunny Florida day. You would have never known that there was this hurricane barreling down. And at that point, we still didn't know where it was going to go. It was just coming straight for Mobile, and it could have went east and hit Pensacola or west to New Orleans. We were all basically staring at the weather, wondering where it was going to go. So then it hits New Orleans. We get a phone call that says, come back now, people are dying. So we actually rode the tail of the hurricane back into Mobile, and the pilots were so busy flying because they were dodging tornadoes. When you're in that kind of storm, there's like mini storms going on in there. I mean, it was dangerous, but, you know, getting caught in a tornado would have been way worse. And it was a very, very bumpy ride. When we landed, you could see the damage that had happened to our air station. Our helicopter just got taken by another crew. They took off that night and started doing rescues. I went home. I didn't sleep a wink. I had the radio on, and I just kept thinking of all those people. And I got a phone call really early in the morning, and they said, we need you now. And I was like, good, because I'm wide awake. So driving back to the air station, getting on a helicopter. I actually went to Mississippi that morning, and you know, New Orleans gets all the attention for that hurricane, but Mississippi got annihilated. There was 35-foot storm surge, so people's houses that got destroyed, all of that debris was up in the trees. So you would see like a hooded sweatshirt and go, oh, there's somebody. And then, you know, it was just clothes. All the boats from the marinas and stuff and the docks got washed into neighborhoods, and people were on those boats calling us on their radios and asking for help. So finding those people was actually kind of like finding a needle in a haystack.
It was about 50 people that you rescued in that one night, right?
Well, this was the first day. And then the next day is actually when I did, yeah, it was 48 people. And that was in New Orleans.
So when you think about it, I mean, you had the time in Mississippi, right? And then then in Louisiana. I mean,
yeah.
What do you think about when you look back on that, the type of, and I know it's part of the training, but at the same time, it's almost superhuman, the stamina that you need physically and emotionally to handle that. What do you think about when you look back on that?
It really does come down to the type of person that makes it through rescue swimmer school. It's not all just about your swimming ability or how physically strong you are. You can be a great swimmer and, you know, be this big muscle-bound guy and quit. It comes down to your mental strength or your, you know, your intestinal fortitude or whatever you want to call it, combined with our excellent training. So the two of those together are what make U.S. Coast Guard rescue swimmers the best. When everything does go wrong or could go wrong, that rescue swimmer can still stay calm, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it is from an outsider's perspective, as much as it makes sense to me. you get a lot of attention after that.
Yes.
And how did the leadership in the Coast Guard react to all of that media recognition that you were getting?
A lot of people got a lot of recognition. You know, some people met the president. You know, everybody was meeting the governor and stuff when we were getting medals. I got nominated for Glamour Magazine Woman of the Year, which was awesome. But then the rescue swimmers in my shop, not all of them. I had a lot of really great friends, but there were some that were just total jerks. And they were talking bad about that, like, oh, like, so, well, she's going to, you know, only because she's a girl. It's like, well, do you want to be Glamour Magazine Woman of the Year? Like, I'm the only female rescue swimmer that did this in the world. So, anyway, my command actually was great in Mobile, and they actually had my back. But the supervisors in my shop were terrible, just like all the other ones.
Yeah. You know, I think about your story, and I always think about that movie with Demi Moore when she, you know, was G.I. Jane, when she tried to be a Navy SEAL. And
yes,
the horrible, you know, treatment she got, because it was almost like, how dare you as a woman come into this world. From your story, I gathered that you ran into people who had that sort of attitude.
Yes, I can totally relate to that movie. Just basically take out the combat element of it, and it was kind of the same, really. It was. When I was at Rescue Swimmer School, there was blatant attempts for the instructors to do stuff to me that was so obvious that they were trying to get me to quit. And I couldn't say anything. I couldn't complain. I didn't have any proof, because they could just say, oh, well, no, you needed this. But when you're a class of five and only the female is getting her, for lack of a better term, her ass handed to her in the water, and the rest of them are just standing there resting in the shallow end, like, what do you, you know, like,
and
what do you do? What do you say?
You're talking about, again, when you're trying to make the team.
Yes. So that's what I'm saying. It reminds me of when she was going through her training, too, because they just did not. Some of the instructors did definitely resent me, and they didn't want me to make it.
I'm speaking with Sarah Faulkner. She spent years working with the U.S. Coast Guard as part of the elite swimmer rescue team. She was one of only three women to ever become part of the team, and she experienced systemic sexual abuse and harassment throughout her time in the Coast Guard. You can read more of Sarah's story written by McClatchy's Kevin G. Hall on our social media at WLRN Sundial. You mentioned how at the beginning, you know, you were told, don't bother, you know, there's no women here. And you took that as a challenge.
Yeah.
When did you start to experience that abuse, that sexism from supervisors and colleagues?
I experienced the real actual sexual harassment and assault when I graduated Rescue Swimmer School and went to my very first unit as a rescue swimmer. And that was from my immediate supervisor. The other stuff before was more like sexism and gender discrimination. But with this particular individual, this was sexual harassment and assault.
What's the system for reporting that in the Coast Guard?
They have policies, but whether or not they're used the right way, that's a whole different story. But basically, I reported it after a year. And this was a year of basically choosing between the two evils. Do I let him sexually harass me and assault me? Or do I try to stand up to this really huge, very intimidating man, and he'll stick me in the office and argue with me for 3 hours and make me cry and then make me feel like crap and then ostracize where nobody talks to me because I'm like the pariah. So then I finally couldn't take it anymore, and I reported it to the command, and he actually got booked on assault, and the commanding officer of the unit told me the next day that I filed, don't worry, Sarah, everything, we're going to take care of everything, you're going to be okay. Ha! Little did I know that he actually would go ride Harleys with the person that I file a sexual harassment claim against, and they would hang out at each other's houses and stuff. So then it just turned into a smear campaign and try to make me look like a terrible performer. And then they actually tried to kick me out for a personality disorder that I was never diagnosed with.
And you say assault because it wasn't just sexual harassment. It wasn't just comments. He was touching you.
Yes, it was. It's technically assault because he would smack my rear really, really hard. And this is in front of the guys in our actual rescue swimmer's shop where we do maintenance on, you know, our gear and stuff like that. And this was actually a good group of guys, minus him, but he was extremely intimidating, and he was the senior person besides our chief, and he even intimidated our chief, and the guys would just look down, like shade their eyes. They weren't really in a position to do anything.
Because of the hierarchy.
Exactly. And by the way, the smacking me on the rear is not the only thing. He grabbed me by my head and licked me from my collarbone all the way up the side of my face, and then would just walk away laughing. He would like make me hug him, or he'd get mad at me. He'd just come up to me and sniff me, like nuzzle his face in my neck and say that I put perfume on him. No, I didn't, actually. I just took a shower that day, but he would say that I smelled good for him and stuff. It was just relentless. All of that was completely denied, and I'm getting railroaded, but then I still have to just sit there and have that military decorum while I know what's happening to me. It's so frustrating.
And then you transferred.
Yes.
Time and again, I mean, to California, Alabama, Florida, and I'm wondering, did it get better? Or did you just keep running into people like this?
I just kept running into people. A lot of them were friends with that original guy. And so I had broken some sort of bro code, and I was the troublemaker and not to be trusted. And how could you do that to my friend? You know, you hurt my friend, so we're going to hurt you. And then also, I think a lot of it was because I'm only 5'6", you know, blonde hair, blue eyes. I don't look like the typical rescue swimmer, you know. I've always maintained my femininity. I'm proud to be a girl. And I think some of those guys, their ego couldn't handle that. Like, she's blowing our cover. Like, we're supposed to be the biggest, baddest, strongest people here, and then there's little old Sarah doing a search and rescue case in 20-foot waves at night, and they couldn't handle it.
And that supervisor, his name is Albert Amesqua, he's denied the allegations, as have the Coast Guard. What message would you have for him now?
That's a good question. What is my – oh, you know what my message is? Albie, all you had to do was stop. I actually liked you. I thought you were really funny. You were an awesome boss when you weren't doing all that to me. I didn't want any of this. All you had to do was leave me alone. I wasn't trying to take you out and ruin your career. I just needed you to stop.
Have you found other women within the Coast Guard ranks that you've been able to commiserate with?
100% of the women that I know, the ones that I've had brought this topic up, all of them have. And now that I'm speaking out, they're coming out of the woodwork. And they came up to me crying. And they said, thank you for saying what's happening to us. Thank you for speaking out for us. The world needs to know what happens to women and men.
When you look back on your career, you know, how do you think about it? Because, I mean, you had all that crap to deal with, but you saved lives. You did something amazing.
I had an amazing career. I've been to the South Pole. Like, the South Pole, not just Antarctica. I've swam at the International Dateline and the Equator. I've landed on an iceberg in a helicopter. I saved lives during Hurricane Katrina. I've done an operational free fall to do a rescue. I've had what we call the dark and stormy. You know, that's the big one where it's like dark and bad waves. And I had all of those boxes checked. I really, really could have done without the other stuff, because it really did some damage to me. And, you know, fighting them, because I knew that I just have a really strong sense of what's right and wrong, or I just have a, I don't know what it is, but I was just not going to let them take it away. And I fought them tooth and nail until it did break me. But I still came out on the other side as, not, I wouldn't say the winner, but they didn't take it away from me. I was always going to retire at 20 years anyway. But yeah, they've forced me out at 20 years.
Sarah, you've been calling on Congress to launch an investigation into the systemic sexual harassment within the Coast Guard. What have you heard from Congress?
They are not happy with what they have heard. The Coast Guard denies that this is a systemic problem, and they'll recite some data from some survey, but none of that matters when there's women and men coming to me and saying, this happened to me too, this happened to me too. Since that article in the Miami Herald came out, I've had a few women tell me that the Coast Guard forced them out for a personality disorder. So that's an MO that they use. And this is all after they filed a sexual harassment claim or an assault claim, not before. How did they make it through boot camp with a personality disorder? Don't you think that those things would have come to the surface before? It's always after. And Congress is, I think they're going to hold their feet to the fire.
Sarah, you're retired now, living in West Palm Beach, and you began work at an animal sanctuary. How did you get involved? Tell me about it.
So it's my friend's farm. Her name is Aurelia, and it's Aurelia's Animal Sanctuary, and it's in Jupiter Farms. A group of wonderful women saved some donkeys that were basically on death's door. And another friend said, Sarah, you need to go help with these donkeys. I think you'll really like it, and you'll really love these women. And that was it. So these are horses that were going to be put on a truck and down to Mexico and slaughtered. And she will buy them and, you know, save them. So whenever I can, I go over there and I help her, and it's like animal Shangri-La, so why wouldn't you?
Definitely a very different environment, a lot more peaceful.
Definitely.
Yeah. Let me finish with this. Sarah, what message do you have to young women who consider taking that career path you took?
My message to women who are thinking about doing a job that's traditionally an all-male job, I don't really think it matters what it is. You are going to run into this obstacle that I did. That's just the nature of the beast, unfortunately. And I wish I could say it was different. I wish I could say that we've evolved past this problem, but we haven't. You need to think about whether or not that's worth it to you or not. Like I said, I had an amazing career, but the stuff that happened to me has really messed me up, and I got to work through that. So do you want to go through that as well? Maybe not to the extent I did, but it's something you need to consider for sure.
That was Sarah Faulkner, who spent 2 decades with the U.S. Coast Guard as part of the elite swimmer rescue team. She was the first and one of only 3 women to ever be part of that team. And during her time, as you heard, she experienced systemic sexual abuse and harassment with the Coast Guard. Again, she's retired and lives in West Palm Beach. And she's battling PTSD now, but she's sharing her story. And you can read more about her story written by the McClatchy's Kevin G. Hall on our social media at WLRN Sundial. For those seeking more resources and support, you can always reach out to the National Sexual Assault Hotline. That's 800-656-HOPE. We reached out to the Coast Guard for comment about her claims of sexual harassment and abuse. We will post their full comments on our website later today at WLRN.org. And I just want to say to Sarah and to everyone who wears the uniform, thank you so much for your service. But to everyone who wears the uniform, you will be held to a higher standard than the rest of us. Having said that, let's switch things up. Still to come, the Marlins back in action after a bunch of their players get COVID.